Blog Talk Radio.
Race fans, you know what time it is. It's time for Race Chat Live. You've got Lee Mama Bear Reed in the house and in large and in charge this evening again. Chris Caution Flag Creighton will be joining us later. He's got one of his boys graduating this evening. Congratulations. And with me is Taz the Flagman Taylor. Hey, Taz.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's been an interesting couple of days. I got a promotion at work and had to do an inventory last night and totally screwed my sleep schedule and everything else up. So you're lucky I'm here.
Oh, but at any rate, yeah,
it's been one of those weeks and it's only Tuesday. So, yeah. But at any rate, we had a big weekend this past weekend at Darlington, our favorite throwback, or my favorite throwback weekend. Unfortunately, because of my work schedule, I missed both the truck and Xfinity races. I did manage to come in, walk in the house just as Kyle Larson was being interviewed in Victory Lane in the Xfinity race, and got to see the replay of how he won that race. But I did catch the Cup race, so I can knowledgeably speak to that one. So I know you also didn't catch the Truck and Xfinity races, but if you want to go ahead and start us off with the recap of what did end up happening ultimately in the truck race.
Yeah, I know I didn't watch truck in Xfinity during the weekend. I didn't get to watch the cup race live. I did catch the highlights Sunday, so I do have a general consensus of the cup race. As for truck Friday, I was doing my flagging duties on Friday night, and Saturday was kind of a chill out, easy day. I had to do some yard work for my fiance's grandma and a couple other things. But anyways, truck race on Saturday, we had Christian Eckes take the win in stage number one. Notables out of there, Matty B finishing third, William Byron running for KBM 51 truck, finishing fourth, Grant Enfinger in fifth, Stuart Friesen in seventh, Bubba Wallace was in this race, he finished eighth in stage one. We'll go to stage two, William Byron took the win in stage two, notables out of there, Christian Eckes finishing third, Bubba Wallace fifth, Stuart Friesen seventh, Grant Enfinger eighth, and not a name you really hear very often, Timmy Hill in the top 10 after stage two, finishing ninth. In terms of the race, Christian Eckes with the race win, Stuart Friesen finishing second, Tanner Gray third, William Byron fourth, Carson Hulsevar, the top five, Raja Karuth in sixth, Bubba Wallace seventh, Corey Heim eighth, Dean Thompson ninth, and Caden Honeycutt, the top 10. Notables outside of that, Matt Crafton, 12th, Ross Chastain, 13th, Grant Enfinger, 14th, Tyler Ankrum, 15th, Corey LaJoy, 16th, Ben Rhodes, 18th, Haley Deegan, 20th, Zane Smith, 22nd, Timmy Hill, 20th, Matt DiBenedetto, 25th, Ryan Vargas, 27th, Oh, say, can you see Johnny Sauter, 28th? Let's see here. Ty Majeski, 31st. Chase Purdy, 32nd. Spencer Boyd, 33rd. Parker Kligerman, 34th. And Brennan Poole brought up the tail caboose end of the train at the truck race.
How about that, Raja Karuth? I think he's someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's got decent equipment with GMS. It is GMS racing after when you go under the – that whole team is weird because you got Legacy Motor Club on the Cup side, but it's GMS racing if you go underneath the Cup ladder. And
right.
You would think they would try to keep one name if you're running – if it's pretty much the same owners, regardless of where in the ladder you fall. But it is what it is. It seems like the trucks that ran consistent the whole race long, Christian Eckes obviously finished winning stage one, third in stage two, and winning the race. Another one is Stuart Friesen, seventh in stage one and in stage two, and getting a runner-up finish. William Byron, KBM Motorsports truck, and to no surprise, really, it should be running up front anyways. Fourth in stage one, first in stage two, fourth when it was all said and done. Carson Hulsevar was another one, sixth in stage one, fourth in stage two, and fifth place finish when it was all said and done, too. And it seems
it's good to see Carson running back up front.
And it seems like stage one was, but based upon the top ten in the stage, stage one looked like it was heavy Chevy dominance for the most part. I mean, you had Christian Eckes, Corey Heim was the highest Toyota finisher, then all Chevys up until it was Friesen and Bubba, and then Chevy to finish it out. Stage two looks a little bit more balanced between Chevy and Toyota, and then the first Ford in the race when it was all said and done is actually 12th place by Matt Crafton. Everyone before that is either a Chevy or a Toyota. So it kind of makes you think, is Ford, when you sit here and think about it, from the Truck Series down, is Ford just lacking numbers, sponsorships? How is it that Toyota and Chevy always dominate, or should I say always have the numbers versus Ford?
That's an interesting question. You know, how much do they really have invested in their driver development program? I mean, you look at Toyota, and their driver development program is probably one of the strongest in the series. But I also want to throw out there that it doesn't appear that the switch to Chevy has had any kind of adverse effect on Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Yeah, you would think, it seems like Toyota, but when you looked on paper, it looked like when KBM left Toyota, and I mean, really, if you think about it, when Kyle Busch, we'll start with Kyle Busch himself first. When Kyle Busch left Toyota and Joe Gibbs to go over to RCR and Chevy, it looked like a ladder effect, and everyone thought Toyota's development system is starting to plummet down, because the McAnally team left Toyota to go to Chevy.
Right.
There were some Toyota drivers that left, or there were some drivers that were running with the Toyota cam that moved over to Chevy. Some of them to mention, like Brandon Jones in Xfinity, Haley Deegan stayed with Ford. She was with the David Gilliland Racing, when they were with Ford. And then when the Gilliland Racing switched from Ford to Toyota, Deegan was out. And then Thor Sport made the change from Toyota back to Ford and kept,
okay,
which helped Deegan in that sense. Trying to think, I know I'm missing somebody in the development system with Toyota that went with the Kyle Busch movement. Yes,
Christian Eckes started out with Venturini back down in ARCA.
It was with Thor Sport and in the Toyota side of things, and then now he's at McAnally and Team Chevy. Trying to think, well, I know I'm missing somebody, but when I get to there, I'll eventually get to there. But it's seeming like that when we all thought on paper, when all these changes were from Toyota to Chevy. Oh, Chandler Smith. That was the driver I was thinking of. When Chandler Smith left Toyota to go to Chevy.
Okay.
Because he's now with Colin in the Xfinity side. But anyways, it seems like at first Toyota might have been screwed in terms of the development system. But I think the help of the David Gilliland team that I think is now called like Tricon Garage or something like that. It seems like they've gotten something, but on terms of the Ford side, like we don't know the inner details. Like, how is it that they have such limited numbers going from the Truck Series down? Because they got the numbers there on the Xfinity and Cup side,
right?
So you would, in with Stewart being the big guy over at Ford, and always saying that Ford's got a good development program, is he just saying that because he's with Ford and they're paying him the money to say that, or does he really think there's a good development system that's really not developing? I don't know. There's some confusion there.
Yeah, I've never really, you know, I've paid attention to the development teams, obviously, with all the years that I spent involved with ARCA. But Ford's never really been the strong presence. Obviously, Toyota has dominated ARCA for many years. You know, and Chevy was usually the second behind them. but you really didn't hear much about Ford. So, you know, and looking at, you know, like Brad trying to develop RFK and whatnot, and you just don't see the same support for Ford in the lower series. At least it's not in your face like Toyota and Chevy are.
Yeah, it's a weird developing project. And I've always thought about it for a while because at one point when Deegan went from Toyota to Ford, it was weird because like there was not a whole lot of Ford to go with, and it's still like that to this day. So that's just my concerns. Does Ford development lack something under the Xfinity ladder? Are they not really invested as we think they are?
Well, that's an interesting question, and that's something that we'll have to look into going forward. You know, kind of do a deep dive into what their development program looks like. So
yeah,
how about the Xfinity race? We all know how it ended.
Yeah, some drama between Larson and John Hunter Nemechek, I believe it was.
Correct.
We'll give the rundown quick. Stage one winner, Kyle Larson. As we mentioned him, John Hunter Nemechek second. Notables in there, Austin Hill, Cole Custer, Sam Mayer, the top five, Ryan Truex, Sheldon Creed, Brandon Jones, Daniel Hemric, Brett Moffitt, the top 10. Stage two, won by John Hunter Nemechek, Kyle Larson second. Justin Allgaier, Sam Mayer, Cole Custer, the top five, Austin Hill, Ryan Sieg, Josh Berry, Parker Kligerman, and Sammy Smith, the top 10. When it was all said and done, Kyle Larson with the win, Justin Allgaier, Cole Custer, Austin Hill, John Hunter Nemechek, the top five, Carson Hocevar, Josh Berry, Sam Mayer, Kaz Grala, Corey Hine, the top 10. Notables outside of there, Sammy Smith, 11th race winners this season. Parker Kligerman, 13th. Let's see here. Good run for Anthony Alfredo of the BJ McLeod camp. 15th place finish. Daniel Hemric, 16th. Ross Chastain, 18th. Ty Dillon, 19th, running a third RCR car. Brett Moffitt, 20th. Brendan Poole, 23rd. Parker Retzlaff, 24th. Sheldon Creed, 25th. Jeffrey Earnhardt, 26th. Ryan Sieg, 27th. Brandon Jones, 34th, got involved in an accident along with Ryan Truex in 35th. Chandler Smith, 36th. And Riley Herbst brought up the caboose of the train in last place of 38th. It seems like on the Xfinity side, minus the Larson, John Hunter, and Nemechek shebang, it seemed like it was a Larson Nemechek show followed by Austin Hill, Cole Custer, and a Junior Motorsports car.
And everybody seems to agree that the ending of the race was simply a racing move. There was no real controversy about it or anything. As you know, as opposed to other moves and other races. So that, you know, it was interesting to see that there was no outrage over that finish, unless you consider the fact that it was a cup guy that ended up winning.
I thought it was a racing deal, to be honest. Even on the cup broadcast, they mentioned when they were talking about Kyle Larson, I guess they're saying that Larson and Nemechek kind of laughed it out, and they both said that it was a race, hard racing deal. It wasn't, there was no heat, no know nothing, boiled up against either one of them. Both going for the same real estate. And usually when that happens, sometimes everyone involved gets the hit or somebody takes the worst end of the stick while somebody else benefits from it. Unfortunately, Hunter Nemechek got bit, got the wrong end of the stick while Larson benefited out of it. But it's good to see that you could have hard racing that could end in this sort of catastrophe, but it didn't hurt John Hunter Nemechek that much. Obviously, he came out with a top five finish.
Right.
And one thing I want to point out, too, a strong point day from a guy that shockingly has been quiet this year for the Xfinity Series, Cole Custer.
Right.
A fourth in stage one, fifth in stage two, and third at the end of the race. I mean, that's worth something to notice because you would think Cole Custer is a heavy favorite to start the season when he went back down, and he's been very quiet.
Very quiet, but he's got something to prove.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, did they send him down for more development reasons or did they just want him out because I feel like there's development reasons, but I feel like Tony Stewart wanted Custer to go down because he maybe saw something in Ryan Preece. That maybe Cole Custer's not filling in with?
Well,
I mean, that's my thought.
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up. Was it because they wanted that car open, but they wanted to keep Cole within the family? Or like you said, was it more for a development kind of thing?
I mean, I can see the development kind of thing being that at the end of this year, we know the four car is open and we possibly could see the 10 car be open too. So Stewart potentially could have two cup cars open by the end of the year. Obviously, we know Harvick is retiring, so we know there's definitely one car open. We don't know what's going on with Almirola as of yet right now.
Right.
And, of course, everyone wants to sit here and think.
You know,
go ahead.
Well, Almirola last year, you know, talked about retiring. This year there's been no talk of him retiring. So that one's definitely a toss-up.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely
again,
a toss-up. And as much as I want to pull for Almirola in some of these races, I just think that I don't think he's got much left in the Cup Series, if anything at all. I mean, he's never been a top guy.
Right.
And we know there's sponsorship dollars behind him, especially with Smithfield backing him because he had Smithfield when he was with Richard Petty in the 43 car, and then when he moved over to Stewart, Smithfield went with him. So we know it's the sponsorship dollars that is still help backing him right now. But of course, Stewart's got to think of it of whatever driver he's got to pull in. They got to bring in sponsorship dollars, and with
right.
how things are looking,
can they also get a driver that maybe Smithfield could get behind, provided they are willing to stay as a sponsor in NASCAR.
Yeah, and that's where I think the Josh Berry conversations have to come in, right? Because, yeah, he's got that KHI management deal, but everyone's thinking Josh Berry because with Kevin Harvick going to the four. Well, regardless if he's going to the four, if that's a said done deal, or if he could be going somewhere on the SHR side, or if he's looking in the cup, maybe he's lacking a little bit of sponsorship dollars. And maybe with the KHI backing, he might have that sponsorship cured maybe a little bit more often. Especially if he's looking to go to cup and maybe joining Stuart Haas. Because right now that's the only lead we got, and Josh Berry is right now the only driver that's been talked about of going from Xfinity to Cup.
Right. Right. And I'll just reiterate the point that I made last week that, you know, just because Josh has signed with KHI does not necessarily indicate that Stuart Haas is where he would land.
Right.
Because if KHI is, you know, truly just a management company, they're going to secure Josh the best ride they can wherever. But, you know, it does lend itself towards a possible SHR position.
Yeah, especially when you start getting sponsorship money involved. We have to talk about Stuart Haas in a sense, too, because it sounds like Busch Beer could be leaving Stuart Haas to go to Trackhouse. So that's a big sponsor Stuart Haas could be losing. As you just mentioned, Smithfield, if Almirola leaves, does Smithfield stay or does Smithfield go? That raises the question. So you have to think,
right.
I think those are two big sponsorships that could possibly leave the door. And if Josh Berry does go to SHR, does he have that big sponsorship dollar behind him? I would say maybe in a sense
right.
he might have Bass Pro maybe backing him. We don't entirely know that the whole spiel of what goes on behind the scenes.
Right. Right, and I think that is what influenced his decision to go with KHI was to help secure sponsorship so that he can secure a cup ride wherever it may be.
Yeah, he's got... I think he has sponsorship dollars, but I don't know how big those dollar signs are, especially when he's gone from late model racing straight into Xfinity. You know, you've got the sponsorship dollars because of Dale Jr. With the motorsports team, right? And Josh Berry, and I hate to say it this way, and I'm not really knocking on the guy, but Josh Berry pretty much landed Bass Pro Shops this year because Noah Gregson is not there.
Right.
And now the question rises, does Bass Pro go with Josh Berry or does he not? And by the sounds of it, it doesn't look like they will be. And I believe he's got Tire Pros. Because of Dale Jr., and I don't think Tire Pros will leave Dale Jr.
Right.
Because I believe Dale Jr. is like a spokesperson, kind of like how Kurt Busch is with Monster.
Right.
So there's just a lot of question marks that are floating around. And it's weird that we're talking about silly season type of stuff and sponsorship deals when we're like, what, maybe a third of the way through the season already? At least a third of the way
right.
of the regular season, that is.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little early for silly season, I guess.
But there's always things that keep floating in the back of your mind when it comes to this stuff.
Exactly. All right, so let's talk about the cup race at Darlington. The throwback race. Had some pretty sweet paint schemes, that's sure.
Yeah, the first
and some
two
controversy
stages,
as well.
The first two stages, from what I watched, the first two stages were pretty much clean and green. And the only cautions that really came out was the competition caution and then the stage cautions. There was no real drama that happened until stage three.
Right.
Stage one, winner of stage one was Martin Truex Jr. Stage two winner was Ross Chastain, and running the race was William Byron. Kevin Harvick second, Chase Elliott third, Brad Keselowski fourth, Bubba Wallace the top five. Harrison Burton with a shocking finish of sixth place, Kyle Busch seventh, Justin Haley eighth, Ryan Blaney ninth, Chris Buescher the top ten. Notables outside of there, pretty much I'll be listing off the picks from our pool this week. Denny Hamlin in 12th, Kyle Larson 20th, Tyler Reddick 22nd, Eric Jones 25th, Martin Truex Jr. 31st, and Daniel Suarez 34th. Of course, we had a couple of rundowns, I should say, that happened. And of course, the little, other than the big one on the backstretch where Eric Jones had the flat tire in turn two that caused the big one on the backstretch, it seemed like the big ones, unfortunately, somehow involved Chastain. But the question really seems to be faring of, was it his fault or was it not his fault? And I feel like the incident he had with Truex to finish stage two, that's not to Ross Chastain at all. I believe Truex went in a little too hot and heavy, and unfortunately that costed Truex a stage win there. With him and Larson, I don't know, because like, it looked like Larson was going down, but at the same time Chastain was coming up. So it's hard to really tell who's at fault, really. I feel like it's a 50-50 deal. At least in my eyes, from how I looked at it.
I don't know. To me, it looked like Chastain was squeezing Larson a little bit.
Yeah, from what I saw, it looked like Larson started coming down, and as soon as he started coming down, Chastain responded by going up. And at that point, I'm not entirely sure who to put blame on, because both of them were trying to squeeze the other.
Right, exactly.
From how I saw it.
And, we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but honestly, I think that was a racing incident as well. Others may think otherwise, but I think it was just rough racing.
Yeah, true. That could be the deal. People think the racing deal, I say both are at fault regardless, either way. Both of them were trying to squeeze the other, and it both costed them good races, because they were, at least Ross Chastain was a race-winning car. Kyle Larson was not there in stage one, but it seemed like after the first stage, he was a really competitive car. I can't pinpoint one driver entirely at fault for this one. I'm going to blame the both of them. I don't know what else to really say.
Well, how about Willie B? redemption.
Yeah, is it? I got to look back on that. Is it 1 year ago or is it 2 years ago? Because Mike Joyce said it was 2 years ago. It might have been Clinton Boyer. And then Jamie Little, when she did the interview, she said 1 year ago.
It was last year.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember it was either Mike Joy or Clint Boyer saying, 2 years ago he had the lead up until two laps to go. And then Jamie Lowe said 1 year ago you had it in the bag until two laps to go. And I was like, well, which one is it? I was like, somebody doesn't have their history books right.
Yeah, no, it was last year. Is that you, Chris?
And me.
Oh, look
all right.
Right there. Wow. He's back.
Marty's back. I guess it's the city.
So we were just finishing up talking about the end of the cup race. We both missed the Xfinity and truck races, so.
Well, the Xfinity race, I mean, if you saw how it ended, then you pretty much was for sure on how Kyle Larson was going to get raced at the end of Sunday's race. I believe, was it Larson the bad end of the deal the weekend before? So, not with Ross Chastain in the wall, but who was that one? Jones? Was that one? I think it was last week?
Larson, I think, trying to think, what was last week?
Put the wall for the win the week before. You knew Kyle Larson wasn't going to give Ross Chastain a chance. Ross Chastain knew that he wasn't going to be given a chance. With this percent of me.
Chris, I don't know if Chris is in a bad signal, but we're like catching almost every other word.
I was gonna say, Chris, you're in and out, bud. But yeah, when does Kyle Larson not love the wall? I mean, that's his preferred spot. I watched him race at Eldora, hugging the wall the entire night,
and of course, he ended up getting spun out.
But, yeah, exactly. But that's, you know, that's he loves hugging the wall.
Yeah,
all right, so we are ready to, Taz, stat of the week.
So our stat of the week, I just had it. Now I lost it. There we go. Now I got it back. Reported from Adam Stern earlier today, Fox Sports 1 got a 1.43 TV rating and 2.689 million viewers for Sunday's NASCAR race at Darlington versus a 1.45 rating and 2.614 million last year. That's the fifth straight week of viewership increases for NASCAR, and the race was the number two sport of the weekend behind the NBA playoff games.
Thanks, Chase. We love you, Chase Elliott.
Gotta love the Chase,
man.
Kiss
my ass, man. I mean, seriously, we all were like... Like, there's no way this guy is like the ratings of NASCAR. He comes back, and in 5 weeks, we have an incline in views. I mean, it's crazy ridiculous. But we have a great storyline that's being top.
Oops.
Oh,
did we lose Chris?
Oh, boy.
I still got him in the studio. Well, anyhow, so the Chase effect. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we lost Chris again. All right, well, let's go ahead and let's start talking about our hot topics. And hot topic number one is the resurrection of North Wilkesboro. Now, I can tell you, I've had Flow Racing on all evening, and the ASA race that's supposed to happen tonight that's got a ton of NASCAR names in it is still currently under a weather delay. But
yeah, go ahead.
We've got drivers in the ASA race tonight. Drivers in the, I believe it's the CSA race tomorrow night. Daniel Suarez is the only one who's running both, which I find interesting. But most notably, Kevin Harvick is running the Cars Tour tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's running the car. Him, Dale Jr. You might have the. I'm trying to think of names off the top of my head. You got the names.
I don't have the whole list in front of me, but my big takeaway is, you know, Kevin Harvick running the 29 number. And that's real interesting.
For the All-Star race you're talking.
Right.
But no, for the car tour, he's running his own 62 number.
Okay. I misunderstood that then. I thought it was the other way around,
he's got his 62 for the Cars late model race. Speaking of the Cars late model race, Jordan Taylor is going to be racing, I believe, not the late model stock, but I believe he's running the pro late models. The kid who we saw filling for Chase Elliott at COTA is going to be running his, I think he said this is his first oval race, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's interesting. I also think it's interesting to see Junior run the late model race as well.
Yeah, that's not to no surprise. I mean, it was bound to do it when he pretty much took over the part ownership of the Cars Tour, especially when last year when he raced one or two times at North Wilkesboro, when they had the big late model shebang to kick off the North Wilkesboro season. If you really think about it.
So me amigo, he's doing triple duty this weekend. He's running.
Boy.
The ASA, the Cars Tour, and the Cup race. Do you think that's going to give him an advantage?
I don't see it as advantage, being that the Cup car, in my honest opinion, is unlike any other car. I see it as this is additional track time. Because I don't really know if they're getting much practice time, if any at all, for the All-Star race. I'm trying to look up the weekend info. They're only getting one practice session, and that's it. So, I mean, I feel like Suarez kind of running a couple additional outside races could be beneficial in terms of track information, track time, know what the track's doing at certain points. I don't see it as advantage. I just see it as track time.
Well, but track time is an advantage for three quarters or more of the group that have never raced at this place. You know, it's funny, watching Race Hub earlier, and they were making comments about how a lot of the drivers today weren't even alive the last time NASCAR raced at Wilkesboro. So we're talking about the resurrection of the track. If anybody ever watched Junior's series about old tracks, and I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it was on Peacock, and he and his team would go to these tracks that had been abandoned, and
right.
They would.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They would dig into the research, the history of the tracks, and show what they look like today with the weeds and the trees taking over and everything. And
Lost Speedways.
What's
there you
that?
Go, Chris. Thank you.
Lost Speedways.
There you go.
Right?
Safe. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I found that series absolutely fascinating. And to see how they've transformed North Wilkesboro is just amazing. You know, to make it was as far gone as some of the tracks on Junior Series, but just to see how they've transformed it into a raceable track again. And they didn't totally replace the track, which I found interesting.
Yeah, they kept the,
you know.
Well, originally what they were going to do, if you remember right, originally they were keeping the old pavement when they got the track running. And then when they were going to put down dirt to do some North Wilkesboro dirt races. And then after that, they were supposed to, I guess, do a repave. And then they changed their mind. They canceled the dirt idea. And then they just said they're going to keep the pavement that's there, but I guess make improvements on it. If I remember and understand correctly what the original plans were, what they actually did.
Sorry, I'm busy looking stuff up here.
No problem.
Kaz, you're right, though. This truck was resurrected. I believe that's the topic that we're on. Pardon, what's going on in the background there. I'm still celebrating with my kids and all, but I definitely wanted to chime in on the resurrection of North Wilkesboro. You know, this was basically Dale Jr. coming out to the racetrack and running an iRacing program through it just to save the racetrack for future gaming references. And that's how this happened, right? That's how this whole idea. Look, I don't know about y'all, but I've been really, really, really trying to get pictures of what this place looks like now, because the last time that they showed up there, the buildings were dilapidated and falling in, and, you know, just really, and everybody was making a big deal about this place. I'm like, my goodness, you know, like, is OSHA even going to allow them to open the doors, right? But obviously they have made a major transformation. If we had pictures, access to those kind of pictures, just to see the difference in where we began and where we are now, it's night and day. It is hyper crazy to know that most of the generational fans now have never seen or witnessed a race at North Wilkesboro. And for it to all come back now, is absolutely amazing. I think they said the last repave was 1981 or 82. I was a year old, 2 years old. So that's that has been 41 years. Jeez Louise. So only a handful of those drivers were actually even alive. The last time that it was repaved, and even fewer were actually born the last time that a race was there. It is really cool to see the racing community come together and make this happen with North Wilkesboro. After a crappy Texas All-Star race, I think that this is perfect, right? The resurrection of North Wilkesboro. And we don't know what kind of race we're going to have, but I guarantee it's probably going to be pretty damn good.
I would hope so, not only a short track, but you got money on the line here, too. And when you got a short track and money, you're only asking for one thing. Beat, bang, excitement. So that's more like three things, but either way.
Exactly.
I am kind of concerned.
Yeah, I am.
About Darlington, North Wilkesboro, and then Charlotte. That is, that's the area of grassroots racing. That is, NASCAR country in that area. But you're asking a lot of the people of North Carolina and South Carolina and the surrounding areas to be able to support all three functions. And, if we got back to the good old boys of racing and how it used to be in the old day, you wouldn't even have the same crowd going from one racetrack to the other, but I'm not sure if that's still prominent in that area. I have the privilege of being in the transportation business. I transport a lot of people who are as well in the transportation business. And the moment they say they're from North Carolina or South Carolina, Taz Taylor, Ms. Lee Reed, the very next question I'm going to ask is, do you like racing, right? Because that's NASCAR country. If you're from South Carolina or North Carolina, you're more than likely going to know about NASCAR or something. More often than not, they have heard of the sport. Whether or not they're a fan, that's probably on the lower end of it. Definitely it puts a strain in that area of being – I know I couldn't afford to go to back-to-back races, especially the ticket prices that I've seen for the North Wilkesboro event. It's mighty pricey. What do you guys think about that? Is it going to put a strain on the attendance, being that we went to Darlington, South Carolina, now to North Wilkesboro, and then to Charlotte?
I can see what you're saying, Chris, but I want to say no. And the reason why is because North Wilkesboro Resurrection, this is the first Cup Series race in a couple decades. People have been going nuts over this. They've been looking forward to this. And then the Coke 600, that's a milestone race. That sells itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I don't think there will be a strain in attendance. In my honest opinion.
Ms. Lee?
I know when we had a time in our lives where we had a little bit of money and we went to 4 or 5 races in 1 year. It was within our area. It was Mid-Ohio. It was Kentucky. It was Eldora. You know, but that was a flush time in our life. I don't know in today's economy how many people can afford to go to all of those races, but loyal NASCAR fans who are going to go to their regular races year to year regardless, who might try to add an extra race if they can afford it. So I don't know how that's going to affect the fan base having so many races, you know, within that small cluster. But look at what they do, you know, when they try to cluster the West Coast races. And I know that's from a team and industry perspective, more than from a fan perspective. But I think you're going to have your loyal fans show up at their regular races. And like I said, maybe try to add one if they can.
Right, right. I can see definitely the diehards are the ones that are going to be at the North Wilkesboro race and possibly, you know, probably would make it to the Coca-Cola 600. Darlington is still just a major bad taste in my mouth because not only was it run on Mother's Day weekend, but they had the throwbacks that didn't seem to have the lackluster that it had beforehand. And then the start time was absolutely ridiculous, but I believe that's coming up later on in our topics. Once again, I hope that it's not too much for that little area. Of course, NASCAR wants to branch out and be all over the nation, but, you know, in this little month, if you include Martinsville, I guess, you know, that race wasn't that far away either. You guys got anything else on the resurrection of North Wilkesboro?
I kind of want to tie this into a topic we're going to be talking about later on in the show, and that's, if you guys notice, some drivers are running throwback teams for this weekend for the All-Star festivities, and we just had throwback weekend. And you guys don't need to answer this now, but at least think about in the back of your mind until we get to this point later in the show. If the All-Star race, or maybe if North Wilkesboro somehow, some way gets a cup points-paying race, could we see North Wilkesboro become the new home for the throwback race instead of Darlington? Again, don't answer it now. Keep it in the back of your mind and float on it so we get to the right topic.
All right, moving on. And I have to laugh, Chris, because this took me a minute to get it, but complain is it good for NASCAR? And for those who are slow like me, that's a play on last name.
Yeah, because once again, we're at this crevices where every news channel that you find with NASCAR on it, everybody's complaining about Ross Chastain. Ross Chastain is the new Kyle Busch. And we've seen that effect
Absolutely.
For years. Anytime Kyle Busch did anything, all it was Kyle Busch, 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 Kyle Busch. Well, somehow or another, that's been erased. And we are now in the Ross Chastain complain area. era. And it's really, in a way, it's made some people turn the TV off. I really do. I feel like it's a little bit too much, especially when the bully, when they're calling the bully that's bullying the basic team that has bullied everybody for the last 20, 30 years in NASCAR Cup Series racing, right?
And
how does Ross Chastain come to the board here? Now, all of a sudden, he's the bully. When it's, you know, who was, when they wound up on that restart, it was one Ross Chastain, 300 cars. Come on, man. Is all the complaining good for NASCAR? I'm not sure, but it does keep the headlines rolling. I want to know you guys' thoughts.
Exactly. Who are we talking about? What are we talking about? And when I say we, I'm talking about all sports, motor car sports media. It's Ross Chastain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's keeping, it's paying our bills. It's feeding us storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think you're absolutely correct in comparing him to Kyle Busch, because it's controversy. And you're right, it is turning some people off, because I myself am getting kind of tired of it. But it's keeping people talking, it's keeping people active, and maybe, just maybe, it's drawing more eyes to the sport.
And it's helping us media outlets like podcasts and news outlets and whatever topics to talk about. And we've been saying for weeks before this Ross Chastain shebang deal for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we need drivers to shine, be a star, you know, show some personality. We're tired of this bland BS. We're tired of this bland BS we keep getting. Chastain comes out and everyone's like, oh, we're complaining. I'll throw back to a couple of tweets I forgot to read out last week. Here we go. So about the Ross Chastain, Noah Gregson deal, okay? One tweet I caught from Joey Stone, at @Joey_Stone_8, that says, oh, my God, now some of y'all are mad that Noah confronted Ross. The incident wasn't anything crazy, but dang, y'all, make up your mind. About time someone went up there and showed frustration for not only himself but the field. Good on Noah. Keep it coming. Another tweet that says, good on anyone getting up and showing Ross they didn't like how they were raced. Yeah, just because you ended up 5 laps down or whatever doesn't mean anything. You're all racing on the track. You got to let the person know he did you wrong. I mean, we're all sitting here saying we're tired of this bland personality deal. Ross Chastain does what he has been doing. Noah Gregson confronts the dude. And everyone's sitting here like, oh, we don't like how this is going. Y'all complain about the damn bland personality. Now we got personality and crap going on. And now you're saying, oh, we don't want it anymore.
I'm just pissed that they didn't let Noah get a return punch in.
Yeah. That guy, you want him as your bodyguard too, though. My goodness gracious. He caught the punch in midair. I mean, that's how accurate he was. Look, you know, as we've said here, it creates storylines. You guys do realize that Ross Chastain only has 2 career cup wins. That's how early in this we are. That's how small this seed is. And Ross is being talked about not just in cup racing, but he's being talked about in IndyCar. He's being talked about in Formula One. I mean, the personality, it's more than just Ross Chastain. It's more than the name. It's the watermelon farmer. It's the blue collar. It's the, he's got a lot of natural talent, but he's wild-haired. Isn't that all the storybook features that you need to have a villain or a hero in the sport, right? He's somebody we can talk about. And think, you go back to Kyle Busch last year winning one race. We were so used to Kyle Busch carrying the show that last year we didn't have much to go to in controversy. Because he was irrelevant. And now, you know, he's been kind of irrelevant this year as well, though he's got two wins, but he's just not. It's just the Busch name doesn't go like it did. Now Ross Chastain's here to save the day. Now, unfortunately, as we've said, it's going to get blasted by the media, and the call-in shows are just devastating. But you know what? When you sit down and you listen to a Denny Hamlin podcast or the DBC podcast or whichever one that you prefer to listen to, hopefully it's Race Chat Live, you'll find that there's so much more to talk about other than Ross Chastain. And it's okay. Like, that's great. We want more than one storyline. And each week, NASCAR has been able to continue raising the stakes on what the storyline is. Like, you know, Darlington was the throwback. Now we're going to the All-Star race. Then it's the Coca-Cola 600. It's almost like for the last 5 weeks, man, we've been on a roller coaster, right? An amazing ride that's been seeing us pushing the ratings out of the roof. Well, I mean, you know, maybe far-fetched, but only one weekend have we been beaten by any other sport played, right? And that's significant. We even had a higher viewing than the Formula Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, all the hoopla over Formula One, and we still have better ratings than them. Ross Chastain, thank you. Chase Elliott, thank you. Kyle Busch, thank you. We need these storylines. Ryan Blaney, you're doing a great job of keeping your name in this too, because everybody's wondering if you're ever going to win again. Martin Truex Jr., great job. You know, the storylines keep on moving. Who's the best race car driver this year up to this point? He's got three wins. I've been telling you since Daytona, Willie B, that's who to watch. Storyline after storyline after storyline. Unfortunately, the sport gets more caught up in the negative than they ever do the positive, and that's why Ross' complaint is in full effect. Because they're being given a voice to something, and they're going to voice their negative opinions toward a certain driver. Right now, that's Ross Chastain. Chastain.
Now, you mentioned Willie B in this whole deal, right? The question, now, we all thought to each other in the first five races of the season, you know, when Willie B was winning, it was red hot then. And then all of a sudden, he's up in front, but not where we saw him in the first five races, right? Where he was constantly competing for the lead, right in the right place, right time to win the race when it was at the last, you know, number of laps. We sit here and we were thinking, did Willie B fall off the winning deal? Was the William Byron coming out of the Chase Elliott shadow deal just there because Chase Elliott came back and Willie B's not running where he was? Like, you have those questions rise, and it seems like Darlington seems to be could be a turning point for him because minus the Daytona, the Daytona race that he had to win again to the playoffs. When has William Byron won races around the first five races of the season? And then we don't really hear or see much of him after that. And Chris may be onto something. We could be seeing William Byron finally step out of this little shadow that he's been under. And I hate to take away the subject of Ross Chastain deal, but as Chris mentioned, there's more to NASCAR than just Ross Chastain. And here we are, we're talking about William Byron in a Ross Chastain topic.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the whole idea is because the complaint. I mean, that's what's created this topic. Miss Lee.
And what happened to NASCAR? What happened to NASCAR? Let boys be boys. Let the boys have at it.
Hey,
you know,
I think Denny,
that
I think
whole
Denny
thing
Hamlin,
was. Go ahead, Tess.
I think Denny mentioned in his podcast after that confrontation, he said that Gregson can definitely take a punch, but they should have broken that up after Gregson got in a punch back or two. I mean, if you're going to let boys be boys, I mean, Chastain got his punch in. Let Gregson throw in his punch, then break it up. I'm with
that's what I said earlier was I wish they would have let Gregson get a punch in as well. But, you know, it's a funny thing because, again, as previously mentioned, you know, NASCAR fans want action. They want excitement. They want controversy. But yet, when controversy comes up, they're all like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, it's one or the other, guys. We're either going to let these guys be themselves, race like they want to race, race like they have to race, and take it out on each other after the races, like they did in the good old days.
Yeah,
you know,
let them box it out, Let them box it out.
What attracted? I'm going to tell you. I watched the first episode of Dirt, and in the first pre-race meeting, they told them flat out, "You guys want to fight? You can fight here, you can fight there, but you don't fight." They told them they could fight in the corners, but not on the straightaways. I believe what it was. So, you know, I mean, if dirt racing, that was at the Chip Bowl. If dirt racing can say, okay, you want to fight here, you want to fight there, that's fine. Don't fight here or there.
What's that saying I heard the other day? You fight in my pit, you're suspended. You fight in my front stretch, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be awarded, right? I mean, no doubt.
Yeah.
That gives the fans something to cheer about.
You know,
nothing sells a race like a good old fight.
And I'm going to go back to something that we talked about last week when Tony Stewart talked about how when he was coming up, you would go to that driver's hauler that you had an issue with and you'd either talk it out or duke it out. But today, everybody goes back to their own haulers and gets on social media that way.
What's that line Tony Stewart said? I'm going to go over and beat his ass.
Everybody's got a game plan until you get punched in the face. I think that was Mike Tyson. I for one, think that every confrontation in NASCAR helps sell tickets. From the Juan Pablo, Kevin Harvick holding each other's sleeves, to Ward Burton throwing a helmet at Dale Jr. Or Tony Stewart's helmet toss, for crying out loud. I believe it was Ward Burton
running down Jeff
Gordon or something. Yeah, I mean, those all are exciting points. What we need to remember here is, you know, before we anoint this guy, you know, Kyle Busch type credit, let's remember he does only have two wins. And I remember a young Kyle Busch. I don't know if you remember a young Kyle Busch, Taz Taylor, but we knew from the door Kyle Busch had a lot of talent when he got in that five car, because that five car looked fast, but he would wreck and he would ruin his chance to win. And I mean, he could have won 10 races his rookie season, but he wrecked, I think, in 15 of them. So, you know, it was definitely a learning curve for Kyle. Similar to Joey Logano, you know, they about ran themselves out of a ride before they, out of the sport before they blossomed. Because it is a hell of a learning curve. And you got to learn how to win. You got to learn how to win in this sport. Yeah, you can run up front, you can have a fast car, but you got to learn how to win. And what it showed me on that last restart was that Ross Chastain knew what he had to do to beat the bully. And that was, if it takes us both out, at least he's not going to win the race either. I respect that. If I'm not going to win, I'm not going to let you win either. And unfortunately, you know, unfortunate for the five, for the 24 machine, he's in victory lane. And he'll, you know, he'll be the one to hold the trophy. But it was really Ross Chastain and Kyle Larson that sold tickets for the next race to Darlington, I promise you.
Exactly. All right, so let's talk about Mother's Day start times. And should we throw away the throwbacks?
Start time was ridiculous. You had two for sure weekends in the race, in the racing year, that you know are going to be guaranteed family days, and that's Easter Sunday and Mother's Day. They learned the lesson from Easter the year before, but they said, okay, well, you know, it was because of the sunshine and the dirt was dusty and stuff. But I really thought somewhere or another they realized that by 6 o'clock in the evening on Easter, most people are either at home or they're at least in front of the dinner table, maybe the TV, maybe having that late evening gathering. At the same time, it still kind of keeps the door open to be able to watch something. I mean, every family event I've ever gone on, it's not like they turn the TV off, right, guys? I mean, I don't know what area you're from, but wherever we go, it's for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever it may be, we're going to find the ball game that's on, right? That's part of the talking points that you have at family get-togethers. So to miss that and start in the middle of the day when people were out in the lunch in the spring evening with their mothers or their loved ones, NASCAR expected us to get in front of the TV, and they expected fans to, mothers, to sacrifice their one weekend to go to the racetrack with the husbands and the boys and the young girls. Well, I mean, you know, I think NASCAR could do a better job at that. Like, are y'all in agreement that the start time was absolutely ridiculous?
Why isn't the throwback race a Saturday night race is what I want to know.
Why is it not a night race period like it used to be?
Exactly, exactly. This isn't the Southern 500, and I've never understood how the throwback somehow got pushed from the Southern 500 over to this May race. I don't – who – decided, because the whole idea was the Southern 500 was the throwback race, which brings up what you said earlier, Taz Taylor, about is it time to move the throwback? Because obviously Darlington's done screwed it up. Like, are we doing two throwbacks? Are we just doing one throwback? I understand it's on the cusp of the Indianapolis 500. We just left the Kentucky Derby, and they kind of want to keep that vibe going between the – but guys, come on, seriously. Like, it's Mother's Day weekend. That's, you know, that in itself should not have an overlapping event, right? It should be, if you're going to have a race on Mother's Day, then by gosh, surround yourself with mothers and make it a mother event, you know? Save the throwbacks for the Southern 500, right? The start time was unfortunate, and the throwback just seems to be misplaced. Ms. Lee?
I like the idea if we're going to continue racing at Northboro to make that the throwback race, all-star race. I like the throwback. I don't want to see the throwbacks go away, but it needs to have its own unique niche, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think that dedicating like a 90s or 80s throwback is maybe something that they should look into. Celebrating what era we need to celebrate in, whether it's the 80s era, the 90s era, the 2000s era. I think all those are moving us into the direction of saying, wait a minute, where is the common, the noticeability? Back in the 80s and 90s, these cars were noticeable, and it didn't matter who was behind the wheel. You could look at the poster, and it could bleed together, and you could say, that's Brent Bodine. That's Ricky Rudd right there in the Tide car. That's the Interstate Batteries car right there. That's the Dale Earnhardt car. That's the Davey Allison car, right? I mean, we could look at that poster board, and it'd be half blurred out, and we could name whose cars are. There's the Kodak car, you know? And so we've gotten away from that over the years. And I feel like, you know, that's a major correction the NASCAR's got to figure out, how to get these cars back to that, where even if they have a sponsor, that car is recognizable. And let me tell you, it can be done. It can be done because it's done in other sports, like Formula One. All the 10 cars are the same color. I mean, you know who's Alpha Prime. You know who's Mercedes. You know who's Aston Martin, because they're all the same color, the team cars. Now, I'm not saying that I want to see that in NASCAR, but we can have sponsors on a car and not necessarily influence the color of the car. Like, the color of the car could be the same. And I'm not – I don't know how you guys feel about that, whether or not you think that – but I do know that product noticeability is a big factor. And from week to week, you don't know who's in what car. The Celsius brand, my goodness. You can't just look out there and see Celsius and know what car they're sponsoring, because they sponsor five different cars. It's great that they're putting money into the sport, but at the same time, it's brand recognition, but not driver brand recognition. I think those two matter. What are you guys' thoughts on it, Taz? I'm going to go with you this time.
So I'm with Lee. Don't get rid of the throwback weekend. If we keep North Wilkesboro, regardless if it's an all-star race, regardless if we somehow make it a cup points paying race, I would honestly prefer the throwback weekend to move to North Wilkesboro. I feel like Darlington, since the deal of the Southern 500 race being the playoff opener, and you have to have, and with the playoff cars, you have to have the special colored banners and the spoilers and stuff like that. You can't have those on the throwback cars, which I give props to Darlington for moving the throwback weekend from the Southern 500 Labor Day weekend to the first time we would go to Darlington. The only thing I feel like they've missed on that mark is the time frame running in the day instead of night, which I believe if you're going to run a throwback race It needs to be at nighttime, right? That's just my honest opinion. I don't like seeing throwbacks on being ran in the day, only because, like, some of these throwbacks, right, I feel like they're more recognizable when you run them under the lights. And I've always seen throwback Darlington races being ran under the lights for the most part that I've watched NASCAR, not ran during the day. So
right.
I would prefer the throwbacks to stay. In terms of what the – and, Chris, I get what you're saying, you know, kind of go with, like, a certain theme for a throwback weekend. In my honest opinion, I like the openness of throwbacks. The only pickiness type of deal I have when it comes to throwbacks is I want to hear the story behind it. Like, yeah, I want to see the cars that make me go, oh, I remember back then with that. But if there's a throwback theme that I may not know about, right, I would like to hear, like, if there's some sort of attachment to it. Like, the I'm trying to think of a good one. I think it was the Tony Stewart scheme, throwback scheme that Chase Briscoe did, right? I didn't know that scheme until they announced the details of it. I'm like, oh, this was Tony Stewart's USAC car. And I'm like, okay, I see the connection. I see the story. I like that throwback. It makes sense, right? You go to, say, a throwback, like, I'm going to use RCR, and they completely threw everyone for a left curveball on this stupid deal. When they released their throwback, and I'm using air quotes for that one, for Kyle Busch, they said, oh, we're going to throw it back to Kyle Busch's first win with RCR. I'm like, that's not a freaking throwback. Are you goddamn kidding me right now?
The Lucas Oil one. Or the black and
but,
red. Yeah, I think it was the Lucas Oil one.
And, oh, here's a good throwback that was ran but completely failed. Kevin Harvick's throwback from this past weekend in Darlington. It was a throwback to the paint scheme of his original Cup debut, which was the Jeff Green number 30 AOL car. That was what the throwback was, but I guess the sponsor
wow.
kind of said no, you have to use our colors or something. And you look at Harvick's car and you sit there like, that's a throwback? Like, we're supposed to recognize that?
Yeah. I thought it was just
like
something
like, when they said the story, like, that's not a good story behind it. There's no attachment. Yeah, okay, it's supposed to resemble this, but if it's supposed to resemble that, then actually try to resemble it. Don't just make up your own bullshit, you know? Throw in my colors, because my colors are better. No, don't throw that fucking crap in there. Sorry for my little language.
It's exactly right. I mean, sponsors shouldn't control the color of the damn car. Yeah, sure, the Lucas Oil car was really cool. It was blue. It was big Lucas Oil colors and all, and that's fine and dandy. But if NASCAR put a standard in and said, look, your car should be, you need to submit your design of your car color, and it has to be approved. And, you know, I don't know if you would see a flock of everybody going to black race cars, but I guarantee you it would probably be about three colors. So it's probably a really bad idea to try to color code the cars. But there needs to be some kind of brand recognition. If not the product brand, then at least the brand of the driver, right?
Well, if you remember, Chris, this is where sponsors can really play in the throwback deal. You'll go back to the StarCom racing days, right? When they threw back to the Sterling Marlin Coors Light car, obviously they didn't have Coors Light as a sponsor. So what did StarCom do? They took the sponsor for that weekend and they played along with it. They changed the logo to match similar to the Coors Light logo. If sponsors
right.
could, you know, just follow that. If you can't land the actual sponsor, I mean, I know it's hard to bring back a sponsor like you. Like, a lot of people are giving Ross Chastain the huge credit in Trackhouse Racing because they brought back an old sponsor for at least one race, and it was a throwback race. They threw it back to Dale Jarrett. with the UPS. They got UPS on the car. It, like, they nailed it on the head of the coffin. You go to Ricky Stenhouse's Dale Jarrett throwback. They had the scheme, but the sponsor didn't play along with it. They didn't get the UPS sponsorship, but their sponsor could have at least tried to play along with it instead of just throwing your usual nonsense out there, besides changing, you know, the colors.
I like Chris's idea of honoring an era. You know, so pick, a particular year. Or maybe, you know, a couple of years. And I also like your idea, Taz, that you mentioned of trying to get those old sponsors back for just the one race. Of course, that might be difficult with then not allowing tobacco sponsors and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a thought. It's an idea of making it really significant and narrowing it down and making it more driver sponsor specific.
If we were to play along of everyone's ideas and whatnot for throwback weekends, let's say we have two throwback weekends, right? So we'll do Darlington, for example. We'll keep that as an open throwback weekend. You can run any throwback you want. Personally, for me, if you're going to run a throwback, I feel like there should be some sort of attachment either to the team of some kind or to the driver. Like, obviously, there was quite a few throwbacks this past weekend that of the father-son throwback, right? Chase throwing back to Bill Elliott during the Everingham days. Ryan Blaney throwing back to his dad's sprint car. Ryan Preece, I believe, did a throwback to his dad's late model days. You know, I like the story of chat, the attachment. As I mentioned, Chase Briscoe throwing him back to Tony Stewart's USAC racing days. And then if North Wilkesboro is still on the schedule and if people want to run throwbacks, put a theme in there, you know, like do like a 90s throwback theme, do a 70s throwback theme. At least North Wilkesboro can do a throwback, can still be part of the throwback deal. Yeah. Well, at least have a theme. Make the teams work for it. Make the teams think, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the throwback was, you know, I think a way to lure old sponsors back in, give the brand recognition some credit. What would you throw, if you were to throw back to this era, you know, 20 years from now, what there'd be some odd schemes, right? We wouldn't know what to really throw back to. So that in itself, it is an alarming situation, all right, when you start to analyze that. So basically, we are honoring something that we are no longer in tradition of doing, which, you know, I think should open our eyes and say, hey, look, there's a reason. And now it's gotten completely out of control because we're not even trying to recognize something that we would – we're not even trying to recognize something we would recognize now. We're just recognizing something to recognize it, right? We're just making something like Tony Stewart's USAC car. Who knew that that was Tony Stewart's? Like you said, you didn't recognize it. So we've gotten completely off of the whole idea of why we were doing a throwback. You know, if you don't know that that's such and such's car by looking at it, then I think it kind of defeats the purpose. When we were seeing those Dale Earnhardt themes and the Richard Petty throwbacks and the what was that one, the ghost looking car, the 1981 Buddy Baker car, you know, the Die Guard Mountain Dew car, you know, those all those, that was what the throwback was supposed to be about. But instead now, you know, it's throwing back the throwback, Kyle Busch's win earlier in the season, as what was already stated here. It's kind of gotten out of hand. There needs to be some boundaries. If you're going to make this, when Major League Baseball does throwback uniforms, they do it right, right? They do it right. I mean, you may not recognize those throwbacks either, but everybody's in the same era. Everybody's in the same, you know, everybody's dressed the same. So
but
there's got to be some organization in it.
That's where I kind of threw in, like, if we keep North Wilkesboro on the schedule of some sort of kind, let Darlington be an open throwback weekend. Like, drivers can do any throwback they want. Personally, for me, if you're going to do a throwback, do it right. You either get the sponsor that hasn't been there in a while to come back for at least that one race, or you have the sponsor, you know, the current sponsor that you have, let them play along to the old sponsor you're supposed to be throwing back to. Or at least whatever throwback scheme you're doing, have some sort of story attachment to it. It may not be a throwback people may necessarily know, but at least if there's a good story behind it, or some good attachment to it, you know, that's great. Like the 48 throwback was a throwback to the spotter. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember the story behind that, but I know some attachment to the spotters. And you normally don't see throwbacks in honor of the spotters. You know, I like the attachment there. But I feel like if North Wilkesboro stays on the schedule and people want to do throwbacks, throw in some sort of fun with it. You know, do a theme. Do like the 70s theme. Do like an 80s theme. Or shoot, do like 2010 to 20 throwback there. Even though it's not very much far of a throwback, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I disagree with what you say, Taz, is that I think we should only have the one throwback weekend. Otherwise, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
And with that.
And I'll stand with you. I stand with you on that as well, Miss Lee. Let's move on to the final hot topics, Cousin Carl versus Father Time. Who would like to open
all
with that?
All I can say is Cousin Carl still looks fine and laugh at me all you want.
I honestly like Cousin Carl. He's a sucker for the smile.
Actually, honestly, I think he did an excellent job in the booth. And for the time that he has been away from the track, he was the most relevant guest commentator of all. And he obviously misses racing. I think that we will see him back in some way, shape, or form, whether it's SRX or a couple race deal in NASCAR, whatever, but he misses racing big time. I got that.
Who can see Cousin Carl pulling off his helmet,
hold on,
fixing his
hold
hair?
On. Ready for this one?
His hair the
instead
way
of,
that he used to do.
Hold on, ready for this one? Instead of baby come back, it's Carl come back. You can come back to racing.
No, I don't want him to come back full time. No, I don't want him to come back full time, y'all. His time is done. He is the Barry Sanders of NASCAR. He was the Andrew Luck of football. He walked away in his prime, and it will always be a what might have been.
I don't want to lose that perception of him. We're going to see Jimmy Johnson come back to a sport that's left him already.
So I want to see.
As good looking as Carl Edwards is, and as great as what it looks like, he would just fit right back in that seat. He's not raced in 5 years, and that's rough.
Chris, I don't want to see him come back full time either, and I don't think he wants that. But to see him in the seat here and there once in a while, I personally think he could handle that. And I think that's what he wants. A one-off here and there. He will not come back to racing full time. His wife's not going to let him. But she might let him do one here or there.
Do these drivers of the names of Carl Edwards, Kevin Harvick, Dale Jr., Ryan Newman, do these guys carry such a hold on racing that if they went and say they decided to run Cars series full time, would they have in any form or fashion a competition to possibly NASCAR? Because I really feel like if you took the group core of racers that have retired here recently from the NASCAR Cup Series, and you put them on a racetrack at North Wilkesboro in a car series or even Five Flags or what's the Hickory Motor Speedway, and you put a camera crew there and you filmed it or you did a live show of this, I just believe with my heart that those drivers still have a hold of their fan base. And it's the fan base that creates and keeps the market of NASCAR flowing. These drivers, in our hearts, I feel like retired before we were ready for them to, including Carl Edwards. I mean, he's a perfect example of this, right? The guy looks like he's able to, wheel a race car to championships back to back. I mean, it's probably done his body great to step away from the race car, and so he looks even better. I know Martin, that man looked like he had gotten out of a fire pit every time I'd ever seen him. The guy didn't look young. He looked old and like that guy who never stops, a leather face. I mean, just never stops working out. Carl Edwards is quite the opposite. The guy's a good-looking guy. He's stepped away from racing. He's no longer has the stress of what's going on. And we've seen similar when Andrew Luck did his to the pregame show with the Super Bowl this past year. The guy was skinny. He had a big smile. He was very but at the same time, you put them back into the league and they wouldn't perform. But now you create this other league or you put all these guys like what we're going to see here at North Wilkesboro. I'm telling you, I just feel like there could be a whole new racing league created and would have a heavy, heavy hand in the viewerships that would come along to watch it.
That's an interesting thought, but that's why I mentioned Carl maybe going to SRX. It would be a good introduction for him back into the racing series.
I agree.
But, again, like I said, I think Carl's kept up on shit. 25 cents for the swear jar, but he was more relevant in the booth than Bill Elliott was or Kyle and Richard Petty were.
Right.
And even though he's been away from racing, he still had more relevant comments to make. So maybe that's his way back into racing. I don't know.
Hey, I think anybody would be better in the booth right now than Clint Bowyer and Mike Joy. And you know, I have taken up from Mike Joy. The mistakes are growing every week, and I believe Mike's just past that point to where he needs to carry a broadcast. And Clint Bowyer definitely does not help Mike Joy in any form of fashion. And the third wheel doesn't either.
Right.
The way that Carl Edwards gelled and made everything, it was like this is the Scott Goodyear. This is the James Hinchcliffe. This is the Connor Daly. Like, this is Darryl Waltrip. Like, this works. His voice is soothing. He has interesting topics to talk about. He's clear-minded. He's very focused and articulate. Those are all things that you're missing from the broadcast booth.
And everything that Carl said, even though he admitted he didn't know this car, but everything that he said was still relevant to the racing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I made a comment, and I know we only have a few minutes before we preview the All-Star weekend, because we're starting to wind the show down. But anyways, my deal with Carl Edwards, and you guys hit on the mark. If he wants to come back to racing, SRX would be it. Now, I did make a comment in the chat saying, in my honest opinion, I would like to see Carl Edwards and Denny Hamlin run SRX full-time, because and win at least one and hopefully more SRX championships. And the only reason why I say that is because they could be today's versions of Martin, who are successful drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series but could not win a cup championship but will win a championship somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Both the bridesmaids, right? Carl Edwards, the bridesmaid of this era. I guess Denny Hamlin, the bridesmaid of this era. That's a great topic later on, too. Can Denny Hamlin actually get that championship? You know, as we reminisce the good times of Carl Edwards, his charisma always helps sell Cousin Carl. I mean, for God's sakes, we went from calling him Concrete Carl to Cousin Carl. He's relatable, y'all. You don't just call somebody Cousin Carl. And if anybody remembers the inanimate object, Carl Edwards' teeth, that guy had like 30,000 followers on Twitter. Yeah, I swear that guy had a great-looking mouth. He really did. His great teeth. Carl Edwards needs – NASCAR needs Carl Edwards more than Carl Edwards needs NASCAR. Can I get everybody to agree with that?
Amen.
There you go.
I believe that sums it up there. I'm going to see that backflip one more time. Maybe
yeah,
it's RX.
Yeah.
You know you're doing it,
dude. Again, just throwing this out there, we've seen drivers come at, with the SRX, we sit here and say, when is this driver ever going to win again? And shoot, we look at Helio Castroneves, and after he won the Indy 500, he won an SRX race and did his usual victory climb the ladder deal. Right. Ryan Newman, we haven't seen win a race in quite some years. Went to SRX, won a race, and everyone went bonkers over it. Bobby Labonte. Marco, same way. Bobby Labonte was the same way, too. We could see Cousin Carl,
and
you know, bring back the backflip.
Cousin Carl looks like he's still limber enough to do a backflip.
Amen.
Well, all right, guys. Well, let's wrap things up. Kaz, you want to talk about the All-Star race and what the picks are going to be this weekend?
Yeah, so the All-Star race this weekend and the All-Star Open, all the festivities start on Friday. There is a pit crew challenge that will happen at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1, MRN Radio, and Sirius XM. The pit crew challenge will determine the lineups for the two heat races and the all-star – for the all-star race heat races and the all-star open race as well. This will feature each team performing a four-tire pit stop with timing lines marked one pit stall behind and one ahead of the designated pit box. Fuelers will be in play for the pit stop as usual, but their fuel cans will be dry. Goal is easy. Quicker the pit stop, the higher up the field the team will start. There are 21 cars that are locked into the All-Star race, and usually how you are into the All-Star race is simple. If you are a race winner from the last season and if you are a race winner from the current Cup season leading up to the All-Star race, if you are a past Cup champion and running full-time in the Cup Series, and if you are a full-time racer and have won an All-Star race in the past. Every other driver that does not meet those requirements will go into the All-Star Open. The Open this year will take the top two drivers, and of course there is a fan vote. The fan vote driver will basically fill in the final spot for the All-Star race. The heat races will happen on Saturday, 7:20 p.m. Eastern on FS1, MRN, and SiriusXM. Two 60-lap heat races are set to fire off Saturday night with 11 cars in Heat 1 and 10 in Heat 2, each fighting for their starting positions in Sunday night's $1 million main event. The results of the first heat will set the inside row, and the results of the heat of the second heat will set the outside row. All caution laps will be counted throughout the heat. Each team slated to start on new, fresh tires with one additional set available on pit road. Sunday will be the All-Star Open starting at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1, MRN, and SiriusXM. The 16 drivers not yet locked into the main event will fight through this 100-lap event. The top two finishers of the Open will transfer to the All-Star race. They will start behind the heat. They'll start at the tail end of the field of the All-Star race. And then, of course, the fan vote will start dead last of the All-Star race as well. The field will take the green flag at 8 p.m. for the All-Star race. It is a 200-lap main event. And of course, 24 cars. Winner gets the $1 million payday. Just like the heats, every lap will be counted with all competitors starting for the event on fresh tires. Teams will have three additional sets available to use on pit road, which will be open per standard race procedures. An all-star caution will signify the yellow flag at or around lap 100, the midway point of Sunday's big show. After the caution period, only one additional set of new sticker tires may be used throughout the duration of the event. As I mentioned earlier, the winner of the All-Star race will become $1 million richer. This week, we were going to take off of the NASCAR pool. However, thanks to the 110 Nation Sports, the pool is not off this week. However, we are running the pool this week, but we're going to make a couple changes and it's only going to be effect for this 1 week. The changes are simple. Instead of two groups like we normally have been doing for the regular season, everyone's in one group. In terms of driver picks, the driver picks is simple. First come, first serve. Only one driver can be picked. So, say for instance, Chris, if you pick Kevin Harvick, none of the other 13 competitors can pick Kevin Harvick. The highest finisher of the picks chosen will win a $25 gift card courtesy of the 110 Nation Sports. So if you want your race, and of course the timing of when you make your picks. You cannot make your picks earlier than 8 a.m. And if you do, your pick will not count. So if you send in your pick before 8 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning, it does not count. You will be told your pick does not count. Please repick. If you do not make the Thursday 8 p.m. deadline or the Friday 8 p.m. deadline, depending on if you are making an original pick or a repick, you are not in the chance to get that $25 prize. We will definitely be busy on the NASCAR pool this week. In terms of favorites, contenders, underdogs, based on the betting odds I've been looking at, the top five favorites, I kind of listed five favorites, five underdogs, everybody else is a contender. Based on betting odds, the top five that are listed as favorites, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, William Byron, Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr. The five I have listed as underdogs right now, Chase Briscoe, Daniel Suarez, Austin Dillon, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Eric Jones. I've listed these drivers as contenders right now. Ross Chastain, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, Brad Keselowski, and Bubba Wallace. I know that's a lot of information to take in, and as far as the NASCAR pool update, I will post on the Race Chat Live tomorrow morning when the pool is open to email your picks. So again, you have 8 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning to start making your pick, and you have until Thursday 8 p.m. Eastern to get it in. If you are told to do a repick, you have until Friday, the extended time of 8 p.m. Eastern as well.
How will you utilize somebody who tries to do multiple picks? Will multiple picks be allowed? I don't think they should be.
So as I said, there's no duplicate picks, right?
Somebody says that this is my primary pick, but this is my secondary pick, I don't think that should be allowed. I think that once again leaves a race back to who can get the fastest email in.
That is up. You would have to talk to Mr. CJ Sports, who is basically I'm just the guy that runs the train.
Guys, that this race does not affect our points in our
right. Yeah, ooh. This is not a points race, so it will not add or subtract points to the pool either. This is simply a fun little $25 gift card giveaway. Chris, to answer your question, I don't have an answer for you because I'm not the guy that wrote the rule book. Well,
Carolina Sports is also throwing in there, and I don't have it in front of me, but there's something that they're throwing in as well.
So the winner or the highest place finisher will not only win a $25 gift card courtesy of 110 Nation Sports, but they will also receive 10 free raffle tickets into Carolina Sports Plus raffle prize that they are giving away, I believe, the second Friday of the month, which I believe is in like 2-3 days from now. Or it's either going to be this coming Friday or it's next month. That of this raffle that's happening. We'll get those two things cleared up through Mr. CJ as soon as possible, and those details will be out tomorrow morning as well.
Well, all right. What a show, what a show. Hope that everybody won't be a show next Tuesday, correct? We don't do a show after the All-Star race because it's not. Is that true, or is that I'm not sure. I think that for the last couple of years we've taken that show off, have we not?
I believe we have.
All right, we'll make that decision
okay.
This week. If we don't come back next Tuesday, I don't have personally anything planned. But you know, it could be interesting, I guess, to talk about Northwoods. But we'll make that decision. I remember last year with Texas, and we were like, "Hey, let's just have the week off." But so that would be something that we need to discuss. We may not have a show next week. We'll let you guys know. Don't worry. If we don't have a show on, then we'll replay a good show that we've had in the past. Any other last thoughts or anything? Unfortunately, the rain out on the TV, so no ASA qualifying on Flow Racing. Thank you guys for listening to the show. I'm going to send it to Tad. Tad is going to close it out for us. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Much love. We'll gather on about next week later on in the week.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening along to Race Chat Live here on Blog Talk Radio. If you ever miss us for a live show, you can catch us on any form of podcast, such as Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, RSS Feed, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, GeoSaven, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Podchaser, and on YouTube. Thank you to our sponsors that make the 110 Nation Sports Roll, Phoenix Fitness, Fair Bowl Market Talk Group, Carolina Sports Plus, TNT Designs, Yellow Caution Flag Productions, and Margin Music, Karaoke, and Entertainment. We want to say thank you, everyone, for listening along to Race Chat Live. We may see you next Tuesday night. We may not. If we don't, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat place here on Blog Talk Radio. This has been the Caution Flag of Racing Radio, Chris Creighton, the DJ Music Man, Craig Moore, who's going to take a few weeks off for personal deals. We're not going to get into it. Of course, the mama bear of the 110 Nation, Miss Lee Reed. I'm the Tasmanian Devil Flagger, Taz Taylor, saying good night. We'll see y'all either next week or in 2 weeks from now. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.